This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When you look at the life of the great reformer, well, Hugh Latimer, it tells us how this man got converted. He was converted just by the reading of this particular verse of God's word. Now, it all began with another man called Thomas Bilney. This man, young Bilney, was troubled. His heart was full of fear. He wanted to find peace with God. He longed to be saved. And the question burning within his heart was, how can I get eternal life? And how can I get right with God? And he didn't know how, and he didn't know where to find eternal life. He said himself, this man, young man, Thomas Bilney, my soul was sick, and I longed for peace, but nowhere could I find it. I went to the priests, and they appointed me penitents and pilgrimage, yet by these things my poor soul was nothing profited. He went to a priest. Remember, he was a Roman Catholic, this young man. He was searching. And maybe, just can I say here, maybe there's someone tonight and you're searching. And you're saying within your heart, how can I be saved? How can I get rid of my sin? This burden perhaps that's in your heart tonight, how can I get rid of it? Well, this young man, Thomas Bilney, this is how he felt. He came across Erasmus, the Greek scholar, and through that meeting, he obtained a New Testament. Now, it was a lot in the New Testament. And this man, Thomas Bilney, opened up his Bible for the first time. And the first verse he read was this verse. This is a faithful saying, and is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And suddenly, this man who was searching, his search was over. And he saw the way of salvation. And he saw that Jesus Christ had come into the world to save sinners like him. And he was saved. That's how Thomas Bilney was saved. By reading this verse. This great text in the word of the living God. One day he went to hear Hugh Latimer, the man I mentioned at the beginning. This young man, Thomas, was very impressed about the sincerity of Hugh Latimer. But he knew in his heart that Latimer was in darkness and in need of this salvation. And this young man who was only converted, he prayed this prayer to God. Oh God, he cried, I am little Bilney, and shall never do any great thing for thee, but give me the soul of that man, Hugh Latimer, and what wonders he shall do in thy most holy name. So what did he do? He prayed for Hugh Latimer, this Roman Catholic priest. And he says, Lord, give me his soul. Let me win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God answered that prayer in the following way. One day he went again to hear Latimer preach. Now remember, Hugh Latimer was a priest. And after the sermon, young Bilney says to him, I want to make a confession to you. Well, of course, being a priest, he takes young Bilney into the room and he wants to talk to him. But he never expected to hear what he heard. Because this young man, Thomas Bilney, told him about his search to find peace with God. He told him about the disappointments he had found in his religion. He told them about getting the Bible and opening up the Word of God. And this one verse, he said, I read this verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I was wonderfully and I was gloriously saved. Well, Hugh Latimer didn't hear a confession like this before. He was shaken. He never expected to hear these words coming from this young man bowed down before him. But it was a word he needed to hear. Because hidden away in his heart, Hugh Latimer was troubled. He knew he had sinned and offended a holy God. He knew he was in danger of eternal wrath. He himself was seeking to find peace with God. He didn't know where to find it either. They're all known to Thomas Bingley, of course. Thomas Bingley opened the Bible and he said to Hugh Latimer, read the verse. And you know, he read this verse that we're looking at tonight. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and suddenly he was saved. This priest, he was converted. He was brought into saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A light, we can say, shone right into his soul, and he found out that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how Latimer was saved. How was he saved? By this one verse. You know, maybe there's some here tonight unconverted. And this could be the verse of means of leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a theologian to be saved. God can use this one verse tonight to speak to you. Hugh Latimer went on to be a bishop of Wolchester, one of the great reformers of the faith of the Church of England. And he ended up being burnt, of course, as we know, at the stake. One text of Scripture shone into his soul and into his heart. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I want to open our campaign tonight with this great gospel text that brings us truly face to face with Christ and face to face with the truth of God, even about ourselves. You can see, first of all, here it speaks about the corruption of the sinner. Because it tells here about mankind, and it sums them up in one word, sinners. You know, this is how the Word of God sums up the human race. It doesn't sum us up as somebody that we're righteous, that we're pure, that we're holy, that we're good. No, the Word of God does not sum us up in any shape or form like this. And this text tells us what we are. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. The Bible says, sinners. And I want to say that tonight, and I have to say it. That's true of all people. We don't stand up and preach and say to people tonight that we're better than you. That is not the case. We're all tarred with the one brush. Remember the Bible said, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We always quote the little verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But before it, you know what it says? For there's no difference. So don't you be thinking that you're any better than anyone else in the town or the town land here of Yarver, because there's no difference. The Bible is very clear here. The Bible tells us that we're sinners. Remember Peter said in Luke 5 verse 8 when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, depart from me for I am a sinful man. And the gospel does not puff up men. It does not exalt mankind in any shape or form. It humbles us. It humbles us. I can even say tonight, it may hurt us. Because God's word is truth, and it tells us our truth. That we're sinners. All of us. And that's where we find this word in the end here of our text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now this is seen, can be seen very easily when we look into the Bible, because it tells us about their character. The Bible plainly teaches that man is totally and utterly sinful and corrupt, even from their birth. Remember the Bible is very clear about this. We ain't born holy. We ain't born with a pure nature. The Bible is very clear of all that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Even that holy man David said that those words about himself in Psalm 51. David, the mighty king, David, the mighty man of God. When David looked back to his human nature, David said he's born in sin and shapen in iniquity. What's he meaning by that? He was born with a sinful nature. Remember Isaiah 48 and verse 8. And it says, and was called a transgressor from the womb. Notice that. Called a transgressor from the womb. This is the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Children are not born holy. They're not born pure. No, from their womb, we can see it in their character. There's one thing you don't have to teach children, and this is this, that is the sin. We spend our life teaching them to do that which is right. We spend our time when they're growing up to teach them to say that which is right. Why is that? Why is it? Because of a sinful nature. And so have you. You were born no different than any one of us. Not one of us. Everyone, including myself tonight in the sermon, we're born with a wicked and sinful nature. You see, here's the great thing. The gospel for sinners. How do we feel God? It can found here in our character. You can certainly see it in the conduct of mankind as well. Everything they do and everything they say is tainted with sin. One particular man, Thomas Brown, said, "Our corrupt hearts are factories of the devil." And notice what he said about his heart. He says, it's like a factory of the devil. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. He's the one who opens up the heart. You see, you can hide your heart from me. I don't know what you're thinking. But you can't hide your heart from God. And God knows your heart. He can see right down into the very depths of the sinner's heart tonight. He knows what's there. Just for instance, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." You see, in the heart of mankind, there's a mass of sin. And there's a mass of corruption that eventually, you know, it comes out. You try to keep it in, but it comes out. And people run after sin. Why is it tonight that you're living in sin? Why is it you say the things you say? Why is it you go to the places you go? Because you're a sinner. And you go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says we have turned everyone, listen, to his own way. And what way have you went tonight in the world? The way of immorality, the way of cheating, the way of lying, the way of drunkenness, the way of pride, the way of blasphemy. What way have you went? You see, we're sinners. The Bible brings us face to face. We look into the mirror of the word of the living God. That's how God describes us. That we're sinners. Now I know that we're sinners in different ways and everyone's not the same. For instance, think about it. You go into hospital. I see people lying in bed and there's tubes up their nose and they're wired up the machines. And you say, well, you know, they're very ill. They're very bad. And then someone's coming up the corridor and, you know, they've got their dressing gown on and they're walking up the corner and they can maybe smile and say hello to you. And they say, well, they're not really, don't look too bad. But here's the thing about it. They're still sick. They're all sick. They've all got a problem. And you can say to me tonight, no, well, I know people in this town far worse than me. Granted, there probably is. But remember your heart. Remember your sin that has sinned against a great and holy God. I'm not saying everybody has sinned equally. I'm not saying they've sinned the same way. But I say this according to the Bible. By our actions, our words, our thoughts, we have all sinned. You didn't need me to come away down from Annalong to preach here in this mission. And Brother Colin be coming to preach as well to tell you about your sin. You know all about it. Maybe tonight there's some and you have skeletons hidden in the cupboard. And you're glad that no one knows about them. Well, I want to tell you this. God knows about them. God knows all about them. You see, we're sinners. This is the teaching here of the Bible. The corruption here of the sinner is found clearly in the word of the living God, their character, their conduct, and their choice as well, you see. What choice, can I say tonight, do sinners make? Sometimes we have to go to elections, and we have been to elections, and people can tick their box by whatever choice they want. Well, I want to say to you tonight, the man is a sinner by choice. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were not driven to do this sin. No, they did it by their own choice. That's what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam was not deceived. He had a choice. He could take this fruit and sin against God, or else he could not. And he chose to sin. He chose to sin. And people today is making a choice. It's either sin or Jesus. What do you want in your life? Look around today. What do we see? We see people making the wrong choice. And this may be you tonight, and this means you're making choices. You know it's wicked. You know they're sinful. You know that God hates. You know it's breaking His law. But you make the choice. And you're sinning against God. And so we find here, when we come to this text, it talks about the sinner, of course. The corruption that he's in, of course. The condemnation as well. Remember, the wages of sin is death. And the Bible's very clear about it. There's a high price to pay for sin. Do you know what it is? It's hell. Remember that. It's everlasting punishment. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place of punishment. And this is what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus talked about the narrow way that leads to life. He talked about the broad way that leads to destruction. And he says, many there be that go in thereat, heading down towards hell, lost. Why is it? Because of our sin. And every one of us tonight's on a journey. This road are you on tonight? You're on the narrow way and the broad way. Because you'll end up at the end of that way sometime, you know. And you'll lose your soul. That's the teaching of the Bible. It may not, can I say, be popular teaching, but it is the truth. It is the teaching of the Word of God. We have sinned against God, and God will punish sin forever. If a person comes before God in their sins, they're lost. And they're lost for all eternity. And so we come to this great verse in the Bible. This is what we're brought with. We see here the corruption here of the sinner. They have sinned against God. Their character and their conduct and their condemnation, everything about them. You see, they need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need someone to save you, to take away your sin. That's the teaching of the Bible. You're in great danger. This is what we find when we come to this text. This is what, can I say it? This is what Thomas Billingley saw when he read this text. It's what Hugh Latimer saw as he looked at it. And you look at it tonight. Even when you go home, look at it. If you're all converted tonight. And you'll see the word sinners. Well, let me say, that's your name. Don't think your name's not in the Bible. It's in it, all right. Sinners. God knows all about you. He knows all about your sin and you're lost tonight, heading for lost eternity, you see. But can I say secondly, there's the coming of a Savior. The first point, as I say, is may not be popular with people, but it's wonderful to know the truth and to find the truth that's in God's Word. But here's the next one glorious truth of this text, the coming of a Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And notice this, he came personally. It says Christ Jesus came, the blessed Son of God. He left heaven. He came into this world to save us. He came personally. The one who's God, the Son, came into the world to save you and I. And he came supernatural. You can read about that in Luke 1, verse 35. He was born of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Spirit of God came upon Mary, and the Lord Jesus Christ then was born. He came purposely. He came to save sinners. This then is his mission. He did not come to teach us how to be good. Now we can learn that in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not come to teach us how to pray. Granted, we can learn these things by looking at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he came to save us. That's why he came. I wonder if someone said to you, I want to see a person, why did Jesus Christ come into this world? Would you immediately say, he came to save. He came to save me. He came to save sinners. That's the teaching of the Bible. This was his mission. Think about this is his mercy. You think about it. He's coming to save those who don't like him. His enemies, the Bible says, a man is enemy with God. They don't want Christ. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They have said in their heart, we will not have this man to reign over us. But yet he has come to save us. And some was in this meeting. Was lost in the world and very wicked in the world. But he came to save us. That is his mercy. Do you deserve to be forgiven? No. Do you deserve God's mercy? No. But Christ Jesus came to save sinners like you. That's his mercy. In Psalm 103 verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And I want you to notice that little phrase, plenteous in mercy. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I have done great things. And you feel, and the devil has said to you, there's no hope for you. The devil says there's no mercy for you. But we're singing tonight about a fountain, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow, and there's power in Jesus' blood to take away your sin. You see, there's mercy. There's mercy for the vilest sinner who truly believes tonight. This is his, think of, this is his mercy. Think about his misery. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I had to say this tonight. This brings us to the cross. How's he going to save me? How's he going to save you? Well, here's how he did it. He went and he died upon the cross. He put himself on the cross and he endured our sin and our wrath upon his own body. Remember they cried up to Christ. You know what they said? Save thyself. Come down from the cross. But he wouldn't come down. Do you know why he wouldn't come down? He came to save you and I. He came to save us. And to save us, someone had to pay the price for our sins. Someone had to suffer for our sins. And he took our punishment. He took our place. And the wrath of God fell upon the Lord Jesus. And so he died upon the cross. And he suffered greatly. That's why Paul could write, for instance, one verse in Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without Christ in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And even in that epistle in Romans 5, Christ died for sinners. Notice it. You see, he has come to save those who are ungodly. And he has come to save those who are sinners. And you know, he died. And he suffered greatly on the cross. You see, he suffered in our place. That's what the Bible says. This is how the Lord Jesus says. He took our punishment and he took our place. You can see his might here as well. Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. No one else can do it. No one else can save our soul. I meet people and they really have a DIY religion. Do it yourself. And they're trying to do it themselves. And I do this and I do that and I go here and I go there. And they're trying to do it themselves. Well, if you can do it yourself, here's a question for you. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world to save us? Why did he leave heaven? Why did he go to the cross and bleed and die and shed his blood? If you can do it yourself. If the DIY's salvation, why did Jesus come? He don't call to come. Say, Lord, what did he come to save me for? I can do it myself. But here's the truth. If the matter tonight, we can't do it. None of us. So Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You see, he left heaven to save us. To take away our sin and to save us from hell. And this is what these men read in this verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The coming of the Savior. Now, if you believe tonight the Lord Jesus has come into this world, I hope you do. I meet people on my door-to-door visitation. They say, don't believe the Bible, don't believe this. And I ask them what year it is. And of course, 2022, that's where we are. And why is it 2022? That's after the birth of Jesus Christ. Even the very date of your birth is showing that Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into the world to save sinners. Not wonderful. Love, do we deserve it? Mercy. What love he showed to us in coming into this world to save us. What love he can show to you tonight to save your soul and take away your sin and give you everlasting life. And I'm asking you tonight, anyone who's unconverted in this meeting, would you love to be saved? Would you love to know that you're on your way to heaven, that you'll never be in hell and your sins are forgiven? Well, here's how you can know it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save us and to save sinners like you and I. And he can save you right at the beginning of this mission. I had to wait to the end of it. The Lord Jesus can save you tonight. He came to save sinners. And if he doesn't save you, you're lost. That's the way it is. If he doesn't save you, if you're not saved, you come to the end of your life, you're lost. You're lost for all eternity. The coming of the Savior. It's in the text. These men looked at it. Looked at this text. These are the lessons that they saw. And then can I say just two very quickly. There was a certainty of the scripture. But notice what he said. This is a faithful saying. The word faithful means believe or true or sure. Historically, it has been proven. The historical evidence is overwhelmed to prove that Jesus Christ came into the world. You can look at history, not just the Bible. They reckon there's about 60 billion people have lived in this world from it began. Don't ask me how they got to that figure. But that's what they reckon. Around 60 billion people has lived. Now here's a question. What man out of 60 billion stands head and shoulders above them all? Who is it? It ain't Muhammad. It ain't the Pope. It's not the Virgin Mary. There's one man. Jesus Christ. One man stands above all. He's the Savior of the world. And there he is. So we say here tonight, historically, it has been proven. Books have been written about the Lord Jesus Christ. Films and songs have been sung about him. Many have laid down their life for his cause. So it's true tonight, historically. And of course, it's been proven personally. Notice he says, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst. But the Lord Jesus saved me. He proved it in his heart. So it is true tonight what we're saying. Some people say, how do you know what religion is true? Well, the Bible. If anything goes against God's holy word, then it's wrong. Doesn't matter who says it. Here's the certainty of the scripture. Here's a faithful sin. I'm glad when I come, I can say to people, I preach the truth to your heart tonight. I'm sure there's no one in Garva wants to hear Colin and I come to do this mission and tell you lies. Is there anybody would like us in Garva to come and preach lies? Because we'll not be doing that. It's the truth that sets us free. It's a faithful saying. Oh, the certainty of this message. I'm living proof tonight. And there's others who stand on their feet in this congregation and say, yes, Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. He can give you a new life tonight. He can cleanse you from your sin. And he can save your soul. Oh, the conditions for salvation, it says here lastly, is worthy of all acceptation. You are to accept these things. You know, you don't work, as I said, for salvation. You receive it by faith. Remember John 1 verse 12 says, for as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's worthy of all acceptation. How can you be saved? You accept it by faith. You repent from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. He's reaching out this gift of eternal life. Come to me and I will save your soul. I will forgive all your sin. I will take you to heaven. Come to me, trust me, it's worthy of all acceptation. You just come the way you are. Just come with all your fear to Christ. Come with all your sin to Christ. And say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Maybe you have hid from Christ for years. Maybe tonight you're hiding from Christ. And he's calling you to come. And he can save you. It's worthy of all acceptation. You don't pay for salvation. You don't work for this wonderful salvation. You come and trust Christ, you accept them. And they give everlasting life. Now if I can help you, and Mr. Lucas help you here tonight, stay behind and speak with us. But don't go home without Christ. Maybe he's speaking to someone in the meeting tonight. Maybe you're troubled. He says, I want to get right with God. I want to get saved. Well, the wonderful thing is you can't be saved tonight. If we'd love to open up the Bible and show you even more clearly. If you need us, we're here to do it. You can get saved yourself. Repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, you came to save me. You died for me. And I'm asking you to take away my sin and to save my soul. And I'm asking you to do it now. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can do it tonight for you. But we'd love to talk with you. And we pray the Lord to bless his word to all of our hearts.